Welcome to Power Play on International Women's Day. We are awaiting Canadian reaction to the U.S. president's indefinite tariff exemption for Canadian steel and aluminum exports. We will bring you Foreign Affairs Minister Chrystia Freeland's news conference when it happens. Also coming up on today's show, Conservative leader Andrew Scheer is still on a London tour, but he will react to the dodging of Trump tariffs, and we'll ask him why he's already talking free trade with the United Kingdom 20 months before the next election. And the bizarre case of Jaspal Adwal, a convicted would-be assassin who almost crashed the Prime Minister's reception in India. Well, that got even more surreal this afternoon when he appeared at a very strange news conference to clear his name. We will get the translation of what it all means. And the Governor General's Lifetime Achievement Awards came out today. It's given to iconic Canadians in various disciplines. We'll catch up and ask one of them, Canadian musical legend Murray McLaughlin, what it means to him. But first, Canadian steel and aluminum get a tariff-free entry into the United States for the time being if Canada and Mexico don't give America what it wants from NAFTA renegotiations. Well, that's when President Trump reserves the right to revisit the exemption. Here's the president signing the order imposing the tariffs on the rest of U.S. trading partners and sending steel and aluminum, who are sending steel and aluminum to American buyers. And here he is again, threatening to terminate NAFTA if the U.S. doesn't get what it wants.
At the same time, due to the unique nature of our relationship with Canada and Mexico, we're negotiating right now NAFTA. And we're going to hold off the tariff on those two countries to see whether or not we're able to make the deal on NAFTA. National security, very important aspect of that deal. And if we're making the deal on NAFTA, this will figure into the deal and we won't have the tariffs on Canada or Mexico. If we don't make the deal on NAFTA, and if we terminate NAFTA because they're unable to make a deal that's fair for our workers and fair for our farmers, we love our farmers, and fair for our manufacturers, then we're going to terminate NAFTA and we'll start all over again.
All right, international trade expert Adam Taylor joins us to size up what some say is an apparent win for Canada. Adam, I guess I'm wondering, is it really a win because Trump isn't going to do what he wasn't planning to do until a week ago, and it's still contingent on NAFTA?
Yeah, I mean, I think if this is a win, it's temporary at best because they've now put this issue right in the smack in the middle of the NAFTA negotiations and are now trying to use that as a bargaining chip. So once again, Canada has been thrown a curveball right in the middle of a NAFTA round, and we're left to wonder what's next.
What is next? I mean, does NAFTA negotiators really feel the heat and push this thing through, or is Trump setting it up to fail?
Well, I think he's just setting it up to really put his America First agenda into real time, and we're seeing it every single day, and it's now affecting Canada. We used to believe that we had this special status and that we were going to be spared the Trump protectionist agenda. We've now seen it occur on softwood, Bombardier planes, steel, and the list goes on and on and on. So I think it remains to be seen just what the damage to Canada will be and how this will affect the NAFTA talks.
Wonder if he's going to wake up some other morning and say, this product's going to get tariffs, unless, you know, I guess it begins a whole process that could continue indefinitely.
Yeah, well, this is the problem with dealing with people who actually believe in protectionism and believe in these types of issues, as Trump and his administration do. And we have to remember that his key trade officials are protectionists, and they're unabashedly protectionist, and they want to target China, they want to target other countries with trade deficits with Canada or with the United States, mm-hmm. and Canada's now impacted by that.
Yeah, but, you know, Trudeau's government was working burning the midnight oil last night. I mean, the prime minister was talking to senior Republican leaders apparently late into the night, and certainly his trade ministers were working the phones as well. Does this prove that the blitz works, or does it prove that it doesn't really have much of an impact?
Well, I think if in the short run, it actually proves that the blitz worked, that I think they were able to showcase that if you punish Canada and you punish Mexico, you also punish American workers and American businesses. And that is the very reality of the highly integrated nature of the manufacturing sectors across all three NAFTA countries. And I think so if that message finally got through and actually stayed in people's brains to then influence policy outcomes and led to today's temporary exemption, then that's actually a win, at least for the time being.
Yeah, and I'm just curious. I'm trying to parse what the president was saying, and it sounds like he still talks like a deal might be possible in NAFTA, but then that's today. What happens tomorrow?
Yeah, and I think this is now the unpredictability of Trump. Trump knows that people are wondering what he'll do next, and they now use that as a bit of a strategic strength for their negotiations. And that Canada's left wondering, Mexico's left wondering, everybody's left wondering what will Trump do next. And they've been that has been used to some success by the Trump administration.
Do you believe it, that he wants a deal, or does he want to find an excuse to terminate the deal?
I believe, given he said that America had negotiated bad deals, he needs to finally negotiate a deal. And what better place to start than in your own backyard with your two closest trading partners? And that needs to... So eventually the pressure for Trump himself to show that the author of The Art of the Deal can actually do a deal. And I think that's now what we can potentially use to our advantage.
Yeah, but I'm also wondering, to our advantage, we're going to have this sword at our heads, talking about if you got to get a deal or we get these tariffs put on. Yeah. Do the Liberals start pulling back on these so-called red line issues that they don't want to cross, or do they have to stand their ground? I'm just curious what the counter response is. What's Chrystia Freeland going to say when she comes out in half an hour or so?
Well, I think it's now very clear that the status quo NAFTA is not on the table at all, and so we are going to have to start to look at to what level and to what sort of concessions and new barriers we're willing to accept. The ironic thing about the NAFTA negotiations is normally free trade talks are about both sides agreeing that lowering tariff barriers and increasing trade between countries is the best way to grow and create jobs. This is a negotiation defined by to what level we and Mexico will accept new barriers, and that is the paradox of NAFTA 2.0 talks.
Remember the good old days when they were talking about tweaking NAFTA? This sounds like a wholesale rewrite. I guess the final point, we got to pull back from our own little micro image and think what this means to the world. What does these tariffs do to the global economy? What are we starting with this, never mind our little exemptions?
Well, the big worry is that this actually does unlock and unleash a mass trade war. I mean, we know that these steel tariffs and aluminum tariffs are aimed predominantly at China, but what's China's retaliation? And then what does that do to consumer confidence? What does that do to the stock market? And what does that do to business investment around the world? We've actually seen Canadian investment in Canada has declined too, because when you start to send signals that walls are going up and new barriers are coming onto your turf, then businesses have no longer predictable, stable place to do business. And that is the biggest worry, is that this actually exacerbates the problems. And we know in the 1930s, the last big depression, it was increased and intensified because of protectionism. So protectionism never works. It didn't work then, and it won't work now.
All right. All right, Adam, thanks for joining us. Appreciate this.
Thank you.
All right. All right, Conservative leader Andrew Scheer joins us from London, where he's on a trade mission of his own. I see you're outfitted in the local traditional garb there, Andrew Scheer, for England. Congratulations on that. Let's get quite to the big story here today. Donald Trump gave us the exclusion subject to a NAFTA being renegotiated to his satisfaction. Is this a victory for Canada, do you think?
Well, I mean, it's good news in the short term. As you know, this would have been very bad for the Canadian economy and the thousands of Canadians that have jobs thanks to our steel industry. Big concern about where we're leading, though. You know, it's not clear what his intentions are long term. And of course, we're still very concerned about what's going on around the NAFTA table. But at least today we can breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief.
I know when you were in Washington, you didn't want to critique the Trudeau administration's behavior when it came to trade negotiations. You're safely in London now. I'm curious if you think this validates the American blitz strategy, or were there ways to get a better outcome here?
Well, look, I will acknowledge that dealing with this U.S. administration on Trump on trade is a challenge for any government anywhere around the world. You know, the approach that is being taken, which is looking at a sector by sector viewpoint solely through the lens of a trade deficit or trade surplus, causes major problems for every country that wants to keep free trade with the United States. That being said, I think it's important all political parties in Canada that support free trade do send that message that we're all in this together. We're doing this on behalf of Canadians. I believe that there's also an opportunity to work with our traditional trading partners and allies. That's one of the things I've been hearing here in the United Kingdom, specifically about the protectionist measures that are coming out of the United States, the need for countries all around the world to come together, the countries that still believe in free trade, the countries that want to protect all the work that's gone on over the past few decades, work together, stand together to help put pressure on the U.S. administration to abandon some of their protectionist policies.
Yeah, that's where I want to get to. You're in London on a trade mission. Last I checked, the earliest you could be prime minister is still about 19 months away or so. Didn't the Liberal government already secure assurances that the UK would reconfirm elements of the European free trade deal with Canada after Brexit?
Well, the Brexit process right now is a little bit unclear about the timelines and where they're lined up. There are different proposals being discussed about a period of time, a transition period. I wanted to come and do a couple of things. One is to send the signal that a Conservative government would prioritize signing a free trade deal with the UK. One of the difficult aspects of the European Union was Canada, in order to have free trade access with the United Kingdom, had to go through the EU and the ratification process of dozens of countries. So there's an opportunity here to make sure that in 2019 that the Conservative government can prioritize that. Also, to hear from them and to build those types of personal relationships. So to have those one-on-one meetings. The next federal election will coincide somewhat with the United Kingdom formally leaving the European Union. So those two timelines kind of potentially match up. And I just wanted to send that signal and also hear from them what are some of the things beyond the European free trade deal that may come up. So, you know, as you know, Canada, in order to get free trade with the United Kingdom under the EU, had to negotiate with the entire European bloc. So not every issue that could have been raised would have been written into CETA may apply to the United Kingdom. So just to start having those initial discussions, I felt was very important, as well as meeting with different business officials who have companies that operate in both countries, talk about some of the potential areas for improving our relation.
I can't help but ask you this, given what's going on in the world of trade, particularly our relationship with the United States being so volatile at this point in time. What does that say about the budget that was just released? It seems like an awful long time ago, but just last week, that really, many people think, didn't try and anticipate the downside risks of what's going on south of the border. Does this bring more red flags up for you?
Absolutely, and you are absolutely right. I believe there's a consensus that this was a missed opportunity, a failure of the Liberal government to set anything aside. I mean, even if they had acknowledged in their